Our Father, we do praise you for the many wonders you have done for us, and we ask that we would grasp more of that as you speak to us this morning. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do please be seated. Well, what stops someone from becoming a Christian? Or maybe if someone has become a Christian, what causes them to give up? I mean, we could ask the question very personally, couldn't we? If you are not a Christian, what is it that's stopping you? Or if you are a Christian, what do you think would be the greatest threat to you keeping going as a Christian? We could put it more positively. Why does somebody keep going through the years as a Christian? Or more than that, even to grow as a Christian? And again, for ourselves, we could ask, if you long to be fruitful in your Christian life, how will that come about? Well, on our next installment from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus describes what happens after the message about him has been declared. So do take up one of these church Bibles. We're in Matthew chapter 13. This is on page 987, one of these church Bibles. And we're going to pick it up where we left off last week, Matthew 13 and verse 18. Jesus is speaking. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. Well, we began to see last week that Matthew 13 is a chapter full of Jesus' parables. And it began with Jesus in a boat on the lake, the crowd on the shore, and Jesus teaching them. Last week we saw Jesus described as sower, the seed which fell in turn on the path, on the rocky ground, among the thorns, and then on the good soil. And then Jesus announced, "He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples later went up and approached Jesus and asked, why did he speak in these parables? Jesus explained to them, this is God's way of revealing the secrets of the kingdom to some and to conceal them from others. This is all just as Isaiah had explained before. And now we see Jesus goes on to explain to his disciples that first parable. We quickly see that the seed in that parable stood for the word of the kingdom, that is the gospel message about Jesus, the king. And the proclamation of that message leads to four responses for us to consider in turn. First of all, the seed is devoured and the word is snatched away. Now today, if we talk about the news about Jesus going out, what happens? Well, maybe your default answer is, well, not a lot, it seems. Maybe the preacher spoke well with passion and talked about weighty matters like sin and death and judgment and life and forgiveness and a glorious future. But after the message has gone out, what's the response? Well, apathy. Shrug of the shoulders. In one ear, out the other, as they say, the hearer completely unmoved. So we Christians think, well, it looks like nothing happened at all. Not so, says Jesus. So yes, that seed falls on the path, but barely has the seed landed when the bird swoops down and devours it. Jesus explains then in verse 19, that's those who hear the word of the kingdom, but they don't understand it. It has been snatched away. Nothing has happened. But Jesus gives more of an explanation. He says there, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in the heart. You see, we must be sure the gospel is a powerful, cohesive, persuasive message of good news. Anyone who hears it should respond immediately by trusting it and trusting Jesus. So yes, we should be baffled in a way when there's no response. We do wonder what's gone wrong. We think these are intelligent people. Why don't they understand? People make some comment afterwards that shows they had no idea really what was being said. No one seems to grasp the urgency of the issues presented. No one gets how wonderful this message is. Well, we wonder what's going on, and here Jesus tells us. Here in London, even if it's middle class, upper class, respectable London, there is a spiritual battle raging. Because Satan is at work, the evil one, as Jesus calls him here. You see, the evil one knows the gospel is true, that Jesus is king. So he'll do whatever he can to stop that message getting anywhere near people's hearts. He'll snatch it away before it's even begun to register. So the seed is devoured and snatched away. The second response, the seed is scorched and the hearer falls away. So we heard that second seed. It looks much more promising, very promising. Almost as soon as it is sown, it springs up. And that stands for those who hear the word about Jesus and they immediately are joyful. And we look at that and we think, that's so encouraging. They've got it. They understand this is good news for them and we rejoice with them. But it transpires there's a reason why it sprung up so quickly. It had landed on rocky ground, which means a thin layer of soil and no place for roots. So the seed, if you like, had nowhere to go but up. So yes, it showed itself quickly. But then the sun rises, heat is applied, and that plant has no roots to draw in moisture or nutrients. It quickly withers. What does that mean? Why is Jesus saying it? Verse 21. He has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Now, do you remember what we heard in Matthew 10, if you were here? Jesus explains what life will be like following him. It'll be tough, he said, sometimes very tough. Hardship, trouble, division, opposition, persecution. Which I guess looks like, well, you know, like I do. Maybe your school friends mock you. Maybe old friends slowly distance themselves from you. Maybe you're sidelined in the office, work doesn't come your way. Even family members disapprove. And of course, in the world, it could even mean your freedom is curtailed, or worse. And when that happens, there'll be those who were so encouraging, but now check out. Not for me. This is not what I signed up for. Thanks, but no thanks. So from then on, they maybe stay quiet when they should have spoken up. They no longer associate with other Christians. When the compromising situation comes, they no longer flee because they don't want to stick out from the others. But Jesus says back in chapter 10, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So those people are falling away. They are rejecting the kingship of Jesus. There's great irony in all this, because in avoiding those difficulties, that's what they're trying to do, miss out on those unpleasant experiences. That actually shows they can't have understood Jesus' message. Because what did they think was their destiny without Jesus, that he would have saved them from? Something far worse. So the seed is scorched and the hearer falls away. Third, the seed is choked. The word proves unfruitful. So third seed, again, good start. It finds soil, it starts growing. But it's not the only thing in that soil. Thorns too, which grow and choke those seeds. What is Jesus talking about? Verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So now Jesus speaks of the cares of the world. Because although Christians should expect persecution, it would always be scorching hot like that. There'll be periods where life as a Christian, so to speak, goes on pretty much as normal. Doesn't seem to be any danger. But like everyone else, there are pressures in life. But they start to fill the mind more and more. Life's so busy. Keeping on top of work, mapping the next career move, family responsibilities, making sure the kids are making the most of their opportunities, upgrading the car, moving house, DIY, having a holiday. And before you know it, Christian service is squeezed out. Reading the Bible doesn't happen. Prayer just never seems important. There's so much else going on. Once in a while, these people will get to church. And when they're there, they'll be enthusiastic as ever, giving it the chat. It's just they're not there that often anymore. And notice how Jesus highlights one care in particular, the deceitfulness of riches. I wonder if we believe that, that riches deceive. Money lies to us. It promises it can deliver. Oh, I know we all say we know it can't, but does our life reflect that? Or is that why people get so busy and so full of cares? Because it's about money and possession and assets. Those around us are convinced that's what life's about, and we start believing them, at least in practice. Jesus highlights money yet again because he knows what our hearts are like. Do you remember those words from the Sermon on the Mount? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I wonder if we believe Jesus. Because in the end, many don't. And the seed is choked. It proves unfruitful. And if we look on and see that happen, we could ask, well, what went wrong? Well, again, Jesus says the word was heard, but it wasn't understood. Because ironically, if you really want blessing, the good life, where do you think you're going to find it? Jesus, the King, promises rest, forgiveness, life, a future. Do you remember how he put it in verse 12 last week? An abundance. But this seed doesn't get that, doesn't believe it. Their focus over time is simply this world and its cares and concerns. The seed is choked and proves unfruitful. But there is a fourth. This is the seed that produces grain, and it bears much fruit. So we're told this seed lands on the good soil. There's a harvest, a bumper harvest. Verse 23 explains, as for what was sown on good soil, this is one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. We might ask, what is this fruit? Well, earlier on in Matthew's Gospel, John the Baptist urged his hearers, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Well, repentance means turning to Jesus the King. And so as we listen to him, put his words into practice in all of life, then we will bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And we've seen what that looks like in the last two soils. So therefore, when persecution comes, we'll persevere. It is always wonderful when a Christian simply keeps going when that opposition comes. That is wonderful. They speak up. They're not afraid to be associated with God's people, whether in the office or a church. That is fruit being born. Then also, Christians are resisting the deceitfulness of riches. They actively ensure they don't get entangled by the cares of this world, which so easily distract. They know there's more to life and they live like it. They bear fruit. And in the midst of all this fruit of godly living, there will also be numerical growth in the kingdom. As we see here, good seed leads to more seed. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Laborers who will spread the gospel of the king. Then in the last chapter, Jesus says, whoever does not gather with me scatters. The assumption is God's people will be gatherers with him. And so those obedient to the king give themselves to this task. They speak to others, and that will bear fruit. Now, I don't think that means that each of us individually will be able to point to other particular people and say, they're Christians because of me, because I spoke to them. They are my fruit. I'm sure the Lord keeps us from that. It would be a disaster to our pride. But I think it is saying that as Christians like us faithfully work in partnership with other believers, some of that seed will find good soil. It might not be in the corner of the field closest to us. That might prove to be other sorts of soils. But overall, we'll all play our part for a bumper harvest. So, Jesus spoke these words now 2 millennia ago. History has proved him right, hasn't it? Completely. The word has gone out. For many people, it just bounced off. All through church history, there's been great persecution from the book of Acts onwards, and many have buckled under that. As the gospel has advanced, even whole countries have really turned to Christ, and you could call those countries Christian, really. And yet, as they have then become more affluent, it seems those very countries have allowed that affluence to choke the life that God gave them. And of course, with that, many millions have come to know the Lord Jesus. And what's happened through history, because Jesus said it would, we should expect in our lives today. There will be mixed response. There'll be no response from some at all. For others, it'll be initially positive, but it won't last. There'll be those three kinds of seed that in different ways end up saying no to Jesus. And as Christians, that can be very tough. We get disheartened, we get discouraged. But Jesus says that's to be expected. But remember that over time and across God's people, there will be a harvest. And maybe we do know that in experience. Maybe we can look to people where we played a small part in them coming to know the Lord Jesus. Maybe we've seen Christians persevere in ways that we doubt we would. And that's been a great encouragement. We've seen the words of Jesus will do what they were designed to do. So let's pray as we close. Our Father, we do praise you for the way that the words of King Jesus have transformed our lives, that they've brought us to him and now cause us to bear fruit in his service. And we ask that we would persevere in wholehearted service of Christ, even when the going's tough, and also when it's every day. Help us to keep gathering with others, mindful of what Jesus told us here to expect. But we do pray that the word would bear much fruit, even 30, 60, 100-fold. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.